Hello, everybody. Welcome to Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. So we're continuing with this series called Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles. And in this series, you're learning how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you courage to impact the world around you. And I know we all want that. And now Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Daring to Commit.
All right, now the third life commitment is about developing your potential. You'll never develop your full potential as a man or as a woman until you make this commitment. And it is this: I must learn from others to grow. I must learn from others to grow. There are some things you will never learn on your own. You only learn them in community. You only learn them from others. There's some things you can only learn in relationships. This is why we emphasize small groups so strongly at Saddleback Church. Because there's some stuff you can learn from me in a crowd, but there's some things you can't learn unless you're in relationship in a small group of some kind. For instance, you can only learn forgiveness in relationships. You can't learn that on your own. You can only learn loyalty in relationships. You can't learn that on your own. You can only learn love in relationships. You can't learn that on your own. You can't learn it without people. You can't learn kindness without others. You can't learn faithfulness without others. You can't learn graciousness without others in your life. You can't learn unselfishness without others. In fact, the most important things you need to learn in life require that you be in relationship to other people. You can't do it on your own. And if I want to build my potential, I must learn from others to grow. And where's the best place to do that? In the family of God, in the body of Christ, in the church. Ephesians 4:16 says this: Christ's body is fitted together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts what? Circle that word, grow. You help each other grow. I help you grow. You help me grow. The people on the row you're sitting on right now, they need you. You need them. You need other people. There are many things in life you cannot learn unless you're in relationship with people. God wired us to need each other. I have heard so many stories about this, about people who got in a small group and it all of a sudden got them growing. There's a book that came out a while back called If I'm So Successful, Why Do I Feel Like a Fake? And the book is actually about a well-known phenomena. Psychologists know this. It's called the imposter phenomena. And the imposter phenomena says this: a lot of very successful people in life, they got wealth, they got power, they got good looks, they got you know, fame and all these kind of things, and yet inside they feel empty. They feel hollow. They feel unfulfilled. And the title of the book is, If I'm So Successful, Why Do I Feel Like a Fake? And the reason why is, success was never meant to fully satisfy you. Success is not enough in life. You're taught from a little kid, if you get successful, you're going to be happy. No, not necessarily. You're certainly not going to be fulfilled because it's not enough to fulfill you. You remember when we did 40 Days of Purpose many years ago, I talked about the three levels of living. You can live at the survival level, you can live at the success level, or you can live at the significance level. Most of the world lives at the survival level. Now, in America, nobody actually lives at that level, because even the poorest of our poor, we have a safety net here in America. The poorest of the poor in America, most of the world would love to have their problems, because it would be a giant step up. Survival level means, I don't know if I'm gonna have a meal this evening. Survival level means, I don't know if I'm ever gonna have any more clothes than the ones on my back. Survival means, am I gonna have a roof over my head tonight? Americans don't worry about that, generally. And so nobody is really living at the physical survival level in America. We have a lot of people living at the emotional survival level. If you feel stressed out all the time, if you hate your job, if you're just putting in your time, waiting for the weekend and dream of going to Tahiti, you're at survival level emotionally. Most of you are at the second level. You're at what's called the success level. Success means you've got enough money for options. So after the service today, if you want to go eat something, you can go buy it. It may just be McDonald's, but you have options. If you have any money in your pocket, any, if you have any money in a cup sitting at home, you're already in the top 5% wealthy in the world. You just need to realize that. According to the world, you're rich. So you're not at the survival level, you're at success level. Success means options. I can go to the movies, I can do what I want to watch, and the more you have, the more successful you are. But that doesn't fulfill. And the reason why was you were made for more than success, you were made for significance. And significance comes from giving my life away to something greater than myself. Now here's the fourth commitment. To experience significance in life, I must serve. I must serve with others in ministry. Ministry is just the word for doing good to other people. I must serve with others in ministry. Significance does not come from status. A lot of people think, you know, if I just have a little hood ornament on my car, then I'm significant. Or if I wear a certain kind of logo on my shirt or my dress, then I'm significant. Why do people wear things with brands on them? They're trying to let those brands make them significant. They think, I'm better because I'm wearing this brand. No, you're not. No, you're not. And so significance does not come from status. Significance does not come from your salary, because a lot of people make more than you do. Significance does not come from sex. You could go from one sexual partner to the next thinking that makes you significant. It does not. Significance comes from service. God wired the universe that we only feel significant about our lives when we give it away. You cannot be selfish and significant at the same time. Significance comes when you stop thinking about you and you start thinking about other people and you give your life away. Now the Bible says it like this, 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you has received a gift to use to serve yourself. Oh, that's not what it says. Each of you has received a gift to serve what? Others. Okay, look up here for a minute. The talents you got, they're not for your benefit. Your talents were given to you to benefit the people sitting next to you. And their talents were not given for their benefit. Their talents were given for the benefit of you. My talents, the talents that I've got, weren't given for my benefit. My talents were given to me for the benefit of you. And so we need each other. Your talents aren't meant for your benefit. We are given these gifts. We are shaped for significance. Ministry is the path to meaning, and service is the path to significance. You're not going to find it any other way. You're never going to feel good about you until you start giving your life away. Jesus said it like this, Mark 8, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. Now, God has a lot to say about serving. And he says, we're supposed to do it in a special way. And here's the way, with others. We're to do it together. We're better together. You're not meant to serve God on your own, by yourself. You're meant to serve God on a team. You're meant to serve God in a family, in a small group, in a church. You're meant to serve God in relationship. Here's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 4. Two people are always better than one, because working together, he says, but they get more done. He says, we can accomplish more. They get more done by working together. If one falls down, the other can help him up. But it's bad for the person who's alone and falls, because there's nobody there to help. And if two lie down together, they can share the same blanket and stay warm. But a person all alone will not be warm. An enemy might defeat one person, but two together can defend themselves. And a rope that is woven of three braids, in other words, three is even better, three braids is hard to break. Now, there's a lot of truth in that passage, but let me just summarize it in three statements. Write these down. When we work together, number one, we maximize our impact. When we work together, we maximize our impact. So we get more done. Let me just say it this way. What you do with other people in this church will far outlast anything you do on your own. I guarantee it. You want to make an impact with your life? You want to make a world impact, global impact, historical impact? Do it with other people in this church. Because what this church is doing is far going to outlast anything else you do. What we do together will be far more significant than what we do individually. far more significant than what we do individually. One drop of rain doesn't make any difference on a desert, but a million drops of rain can turn a desert into a garden. What you can do is not a lot. What I can do is not a lot, but together we make an impact. So we maximize our impact. Second thing, verse 10 says, we minimize our failure. I like that. When we work together, when we serve together, when we minister together, we minimize our failures. It says if one falls down, well, the next guy just picks him up. But he said, if you're out there doing it on your own, who's gonna pick you up when you fall? So I like the fact that when we serve together in the church, it minimizes our failures. And the third thing, we mobilize our resources. We pool them, we put them all together. Our funds go further. It says, you know, if you're sleeping outside together, you can share the blanket. You most stay warm. He says we can pool our resources and mobilize them together. Now, Jesus said that there's no such thing as insignificant service. There's no such thing as an insignificant ministry. Jesus said, even if you say to a little kid, here, have a drink of water in Jesus' name. You give him a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. The Bible says that is significant ministry. You will be rewarded for it in eternity. It doesn't have to be flashy. It just has to be service. And so the person who is helping park all the cars in traffic ministry and the person who's passing out bulletins and the person who is watching and training kids and the person who is speaking right now, it's all significant. And not any is more significant than the other because it all has to be done. And the painters and the artists and the musicians and the accountants and the servers and all of the hospitality people, all of it matters. There's no insignificant ministry. I've taught you this before, but some of you may have not remembered it. The difference between prominence and significance. They're not the same. You can be famous and not significant. You can be significant and not famous. My nose is prominent. It just sticks out there. It gets to the door 2 days before the rest of my body gets there. There's nothing significant about my nose except that it's incredibly sexy. But outside of that, it's just a nose. Okay, it's just a nose. It's prominent, it's big, but it's not significant. I could lose my nose and live happily ever after. I don't need it to live. It's prominent, it's not significant. Inside me, there's a spleen, a liver, kidneys, heart, lungs. I've never seen them. So I just am assuming by faith that I have them. Okay, somebody tells me they're inside me. I've never seen them. They're not prominent, but they are significant because if I lost any of them, I'd die. And what you want in life is not prominence. What you want is significance, and we get that through service. And Jesus said this, Matthew 25, verse 40, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. Now, you know what that story is about. Jesus is saying there, one day you're going to stand before him in heaven. And God's going to say to you, you know what? Good job. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was sick, you visited me. And when I was in prison, you visited me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes. And you're going to say to God, Lord, when did I do that? When did I feed you, clothe you, help you, serve you, and all that? And Jesus will say, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Now the fifth life commitment is the one that makes the eternal difference. This is the one that you'll be rewarded for over and over and over in eternity. And it is this, the fifth commitment. To make an eternal difference, I must join with others on mission. I must join with others on mission. God has a life mission for your life, and you can only do it in the context of with others. A life message and a life mission. God put you here to have a message to the world and a mission in the world. And you do that in context with others. Now, before Jesus goes back to heaven, he gives his last words. Last words of people are very important. And the last words of Jesus are called the Great Commission. I mentioned it earlier. It's Matthew 28. It's there on your outline. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you. Now, follow me on this. God has a purpose for all of history, and God has a purpose for your life. Why would God give you a purpose for your life totally unconnected to his purpose for history? He wouldn't. That would be illogical. So somehow the purpose for your life is connected to his purpose for history. And what is God's purpose for history? He's building a family. It's the whole reason there's a universe. It's the whole reason there's an earth. God wanted a family. On earth, that family is called the church. It's also called the kingdom of God. And when everybody has come into that family that God knows is going to say yes, has made the choice to love him back, then this period of history will be over. We go into phase two, which is eternity. And so somehow God says, I want your purpose in life to be a part of my big purpose, which is taking the good news to everybody else. The whole reason we have Saddleback Church is the Great Commission. I started this church because of that verse. The whole reason we have the peace plan is because of the Great Commission. It's all about not just loving Christ, loving his family, growing in Christ, serving Christ. It's also about sharing Christ, taking the good news. And it's the best news in the world. Past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. Where else are you going to get that? Nowhere. It's the best news in the world. In the Bible, Paul talks about a group of Christians in a part of Greece called Macedonia. Macedonia is where Alexander the Great came from. And the church at Macedonia, Paul was there and helped them start a church. They were going through a very strong famine. There was a drought, and the place was incredibly poor, and they barely had enough food to feed themselves. And it was a very, very poor, poverty-stricken church in Macedonia. And yet then the people in the church of Macedonia heard about the tough times that the church at Jerusalem was going through, and they were having a famine, and not on top of that, they were having persecution. And so the people who were in abject poverty themselves in Macedonia took up a generous offering and sent it to Jerusalem. And Paul, in the Bible, brags on the Macedonian Christian. He goes, I don't believe these guys. They're unbelievable. It goes, out of their deep poverty welled up great generosity. He said, they gave more than they were able. He said, they were able to give more than they could afford. They were poor themselves. They were destitute. And yet they're taking up an offering to help poor people in another place. And he goes, let me explain to you why they were able to do that. It's the next verse. 2 Corinthians 8:5. They gave beyond their ability, far more than they could afford, because they're not giving by reason, but by revelation. And what explains this? What explains this generosity in the middle of all their poverty? What explains it was that they had first given themselves unreservedly to God. That's the very first verse we read today. The other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. In other words, if you settle the first issue, does my life really belong to God? The second issue is really easy. Do I trust God? Southern California is well known for its beaches. It's the part of the country that popularized the music of the Beach Boys, beach party movies, and of course, surfing. Many of our schools offer physical education courses in surfing. And if you take a class on surfing, you'll be taught everything you need to know about surfing. How to recognize the right equipment, how to use it properly, how to recognize a surfable wave, how to catch a wave and ride it as long as possible, and most important of all, how to get off a wave without wiping out. But in all of the courses on surfing, you will never find a class that teaches how to build a wave. Surfing is the art of riding waves that God builds. No surfer tries to create waves. If the waves aren't there, you just don't surf that day. On the other hand, when a surfer sees a good wave, they make the most of it, even if it means surfing in the middle of a storm. Only God can create waves. Waves of revival, waves of growth, waves of receptivity in your own life. And our job, like experienced surfers, is to recognize a wave of God's Spirit and ride it. It's not our responsibility to go out into the world and make waves. It's our job to recognize how God is working in the world and join him in the endeavor. At Saddleback Church, we've never tried to build a wave. That's God's business. But we have tried to recognize the waves that God is sending our way, and we have learned how to catch them. And the amazing thing is this: the more skilled we become in riding waves of growth, the more God sends. In my opinion, we live in the most exciting time in history and the most exciting time for the church. More people are coming to Christ now than at any other point in history. I believe God is sending waves of growth wherever his people are prepared to ride them. So, my prayer at the start of every day goes like this: Father, I know you're going to do some incredible things in the world today. I would like to ask you to just give me the privilege of being in on some of them. In other words, stop praying, Lord, bless what I'm doing. Stop praying, Lord, bless what I'm doing. Start praying, Lord, help me to do what you're blessing. Big difference. Now, when a surfer wipes out because he didn't ride a wave correctly, he doesn't give up surfing. He just paddles back out in the ocean to wait for the next big wave that God sends. One thing I've observed about successful surfers is they are persistent. You may have experienced a few wipeouts in your life. Well, I certainly have. And you may have missed a few waves in your life. And I have too. That doesn't mean you should quit. The ocean hasn't dried up. On the contrary, at this very moment, God is creating in the world the best waves I've ever seen. Let's go catch them. Would you pray this prayer? Dear God, I want to strengthen my faith. I want to discover my identity. I want to develop my potential. I want to experience significance. And I want to make an eternal difference. So today, I want to settle these five life commitments. First, I commit the rest of my life to uniting with others in worship in order to strengthen my faith and restore my joy. And then I commit to connecting with others for fellowship, to being in a small group, to being an agent of reconciliation in the world and treating everyone with respect and dignity. And then I commit to learning from others in order to grow and to becoming what you want me to be. And I commit to learning to serve you by serving others in ministry and to use whatever talent you have given me, not for myself, but for the benefit of others. And I want to make an eternal difference. And I want to join with others on the mission of Daring Faith. And I want my part, like the little boy who gave his lunch, to feed the 5,000 and make a difference in eternity. If you've never opened your life to Christ, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life right now and save me and change me. I pray this in your name. Amen.
If you just prayed to receive Jesus, congratulations. We would love to send you some free materials to help you along on your spiritual journey. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. You know, Daily Hope is changing lives every day. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I started this Daily Hope ministry because I want to help you fulfill the great commission and the great commandment of Jesus Christ. To love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself, to make disciples, to teach them to grow, and to baptize them and bring them into the family of God. And all of these things happen when you do what God tells you to do. You are part of the effort. We are a team here at Daily Hope. Let me read you a letter from Jeff, who listens to Daily Hope in Alabama. And he's using all of the resources that we produce in addition to these broadcasts to help disciple other people in the Word. He wrote, Dear Pastor Rick, our adult classes at Green Valley Baptist Church here in Hoover, Alabama, just finished your 6-week study kit for the series Daring Faith. I just wanted to drop you a line, tell you how much we enjoyed that study and the video. Many of our class members have been going through a lot of personal tragedies, problems, and difficulties lately, and your video spoke so strongly to how we need to depend on God in our faith to help us get through both the good and bad times of life. Well, thanks, Jeff, for writing in first place. Second, I'm so excited to hear that you're using these resources in addition to the broadcast that we're preparing for groups and individuals and even churches. And my prayer is that as we put together these resources, like the Daring Faith Kit, that they will be used by thousands of small groups around the world to help people grow in faith and in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you who are listening today, there are a lot of different resources that Daily Hope produces. Bible studies, kits, manuals, scripture memory cards, all kinds of things that you need to be aware of. So go to my website today, PastorRick.com. If you've never been there, take a minute and go to PastorRick.com and see all of the resources that we've prepared to help you grow in your faith and share your faith with others. We did it for you. God bless you.
Please join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.